Good morning out there. It's time for another Insurgent Radio broadcast, and we're going to have Stray Dog on here, who's on here bi-weekly, and we missed out on a couple of weeks, but he's back on here today. Wanted to remind you on the, this is the 8th of April, 2014, Tears Day. I watched a really good movie the other night. It's called A Common Man with Ben Kingsley, who is, I wouldn't consider very white or Aryan, that's for sure. But this film takes place in Sri Lanka, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most accurate descriptions of a really clever, smart lone wolf. So I picked this up at the rental place, but you might be able to get it on Netflix. So let's get on with the show here, and it's a beautiful day here in the Midwest. The sun is shining, and it's warm. It's up in the 50s today. Everybody around here is dancing around the maypole.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your host, Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy.
Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, here in the bunker, right here on the... Oh, I've got my Frank Silva Memorial clock covered up here this morning. Oh, it's the 8th of April. I lose all track of time, you know, when you're living out here in the boonies under the trees. And it's Tuesday, Tears Day. And guess what? We finally caught up with Stray Dog. Here he is from New Germany.
Howdy. Howdy, everyone. Good morning. Yeah, I got off of my machine for a minute, got off my farm tractor.
Yeah.
Time to let those seeds germinate. It's going to be a good year this year, looks like.
You got a big tractor or a little tractor?
We got all kind of tractor. We got a small one for the small field,
uh-huh.
Big one for the back 10.
Cool.
You got to help the farmers when you can. Well, you know, you take the work when you can get it.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. White man, there's no, the system's not going to give you a job, white man.
So what, you're helping some of the other guys cultivate their property?
Well, some of the farmers are a little bit too old to get out there and do it, but they want to keep their farm status on their property.
Yeah.
So they call it like playing farmer, but I'm real serious about it. Like, no, I take this serious. This is, to be a farmer, that's a noble man.
Well, why don't they do like my congressman and get subsidized for not growing anything? He gets $1 million a year for not growing things.
Didn't that start back in the 30s? I think there's a way to regulate prices, right?
No, I think it was in the 50s it really got going. Yeah. They had programs before then, but it really got going. I remember, and I've talked about this before, when I got out of the Army and was working here in the local town here in the TV shop, I almost bought a 40-acre farm out there, and the pitch from the real estate guy was, he said, well, you plant half of it, and you let the other lay there, and then the government will pay you for leaving it lay fallow.
Well, that's money well spent, isn't it? As far as the government's concerned, they want to have open space for future future development. Hey, isn't that the big scam the government does, is they go ahead and they make a place a national park? They say, okay, look, we have to preserve this area. It's pristine. It's a place where we have to set aside for future generations. Then they find out, oh, there's natural gas on it. There's oil on it.
Yeah, they knew that, and they knew that all the time.
That's a pretty slick scam. It got by me for many a year.
You got to hand it to them. You got to hand it to them. They're clever boys. They're clever boys. Well, let's see here. I see on the TV this morning, George Bush Jr., of the crime family, the Bush crime family, is over in Africa dancing with the niggers. I see that Hillary Clinton's doing the hugga bugga with some big black broad doing the rock and roll or whatever they call it. And who else is trying to act like they're black or Mexican or something? There was somebody else on there too. They had a picture of on TV. Don't these people realize how stupid they look? And you can't play that game like you're one of the boys when you're not one of the boys. You know, you see Bush had his first showing of his art now. He's got an art museum.
I don't think that's him painting those pictures.
Well, I don't know.
I don't trust that.
And also, you know, one of these gals that owns Walmart, a billionaireess, she spent $1 billion on an art museum down in Arkansas. And like the guy said on the TV, he said, how many people from Arkansas are going to go to the art museum?
That's like giving computers to the inner city blacks.
Yeah, well,
they look at it and they pound a nail in with it. You know, they don't know what it's for.
I'm sure there's a few people that appreciate art in Arkansas, but I don't think it's the masses.
Well, they wanted to build it near where their base of power is. Isn't the Walton family out of Arkansas? So, see, they wanted to build it. See, keep it in the state kind of thing, you know?
Oh, it's probably a tax dodge, too. She can write it all off, probably.
Sure, but, hey, let's not put down Walmart. They are the pinnacle of the capitalist model, where you start by selling low, you come in and knock everybody off the block, then you gradually raise your prices, and we've seen that in Walmart. I've documented several items that they no longer carry, or the prices double now that they've knocked everybody else out of the business. I try not to give them any business other than they got the cheapest deal on motor oil.
It's sort of the zoo for out of shape white people. If you want to go see the worst, most unhealthy people in your community, go to Walmart.
It's like you said about Bernays selling, don't sell the steak, sell the sizzle. And the media has generated an image of Walmart to be a nirvana, a place where you want to go, a place where everyone goes to spend their money. And it's more so an illusion than a fact. But you're right, I've seen them like, you could almost predict the crowd that's going to go to your local Walmart because they jam up the local highways and stuff.
These big fat women in these leotards and stuff like that, these real stretch pants and stuff. And also there's a big deal now of women going to the Walmart and even grocery shopping in their pajamas.
It seems to be acceptable. It started here in urban areas that school children and adults wear their pajamas to school and work.
Jeez.
They wear kind of like a slipper type shoe.
Yeah.
Not a tie shoe, not like a safety shoe, but a flip flop and a slipper. And that's why a lot of the school districts implemented a dress code to kind of say, instead of saying, hey, nigger, look, you got to dress right to come to school.
Sure.
Put it to them lightly. But these kids, they get the dress uniforms, the light blue top and tan khaki bottom, and they stay in it 24/7.
God. Oh, man.
And, you could smell in the neighborhood the dryer running. Like, there's no water to a lot of these houses, but they have electric. They bug electric in off of a fallen line.
Guess what? I see the great Reverend Al Sharpton turned out to be an FBI mob rat. In other words, an FBI informant.
Our buddy Al Sharpton wore a wire. We were scratching our heads. How could that ugly nigger get a prime time TV show? As horrible as he is to look at.
Yeah.
How could he? And, well, now we know.
Well,
If you do something for the law enforcement, FBI, they get their other arm, the state-controlled television, to give him a spot on that. Now Al Sharpton can make $2 or $3 million before he retires.
I'll bet I was. I bet he had a wire on when I was debating him. Of course, it didn't really need a wire, but anyhow, this is.
Somebody who's dirty is going to have to wear a wire all the time because they're trying to get the goods on the other guy. If you're not really dirty, now you could always record people just to be funny and have the information. I mean,
yeah.
But as whether or not you could use it in a trial is another thing. Like there's times where the judge will disallow video evidence and audio evidence based on procedure, and there's nothing you could really do.
They try to make it sound like he was just a FBI mafia informant, but I don't believe that. I believe he was an informant, period.
Yeah, he had the goods on somebody. When he knew something, that you either disappear for good or you get a good job, and he got a good job.
Well, no wonder he got away with standing outside that Jew's shop in Harlem screaming, kill him, kill him, kill him, and I think they burned down the guy's place, and I don't know whether they killed the guy that owned the place or not, but the Jews sort of ignored that. They made a little stink, but they didn't make a big stink out of it.
It didn't go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a point of great news, of bright news, is the war, the Jews in New York against the blacks,
yeah.
And how they're constantly fighting, and now the Jews have foot patrols where they're going out in groups and beating down blacks, and a lot of it doesn't get reported, but believe me, it's happening every night, and it's a point of great brightness and good news. We're going to talk about good news here.
The Orthodox got a regular policing group that's going around now in New York.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, and you can't let the women, they know, I mean, Jews are disgusting, I hate them, but at least they have enough brains to know not to let their women walk alone.
Yeah.
You have to have security because we're living around animals. And the other good point of news, the Ebola outbreak is spreading from Guinea, and now planes in Paris are being detained and coming from these African pest holes. So that Ebola virus is spreading. Let's hope it spreads faster. No cases in New Jersey yet. We have a lot of meningitis up at the Princeton College.
That stuff could turn you into jelly in about 3 days, I understand.
Well, this is it. See, a virus, it moves very quickly, invisible. You can't see it. A microscope could see it, but these things could happen all upon us. We try to, in times that it does happen, you want to shelter in place, seal your home, put your gas mask on, and don't leave the area.
Of course, we've been telling the people for decades that this is the other problem with immigration, even if it wasn't racial. It is the public health feature of immigration. That I remember they had people with the leprosy and everything else out there in California that come across the border. I was in some government office, and a guy who worked for the government pointed out a couple in the next cubicle. I don't know why I was there, but anyhow, he said that he had TB and she had leprosy. I mean, you know, but they don't kick them out of the country.
Oftentimes, diseases that have been cured in the white world, in the Western world, are very much prevalent in the third world, and you're right, they come over. But let's talk about parasites that the immigrants bring over, the beaners, the illegal invaders. We haven't had a bedbug epidemic here in the States since the 1950s. I know you talk to the old timers. I had old relatives that tell me when they were growing up and they were little, 1950s, there was a bedbug epidemic. Now all of a sudden we have another one.
I never heard of anybody, and maybe I was naive around here in the old days in the 50s around here having bed bugs. They used to always say, don't let the bed bugs bite when you go to bed, but it was always sort of a joke. But I never saw a bed bug around here when I was a kid.
I'm sure they were going around in Chicago when they hit all the big cities.
That's not here. That's Africa.
Yeah, yeah. Well, back in 1950, Chicago was probably, still 50% white, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that resist.com, you changed the layout. It looks a little cleaner, but I kind of missed that map. That's pretty neat.
Well, we may run it once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we've set it up to where people can get the website information on their cell phones and iPhones and stuff.
Yeah, that's the way it's going. Everybody's got one of those.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to get one of those iPhones. You can buy them used now too, pretty cheap.
Oh yeah, get one on eBay. Just keep it in the lead box because of the, the bigger the device, the more RF it generates. It's not just a telephone.
I want them to know where I'm at, man. Come on, I want an alibi.
They're starting to see, though, now that the generation of not generation, but the passing through of the radio frequency through your body, especially vital organs, is causing cellular disruption inside the cells. And
they're talking more about cell phones than anything else, I think.
Yeah, the girls, women in Britain who carry their cell phone like right on their chest,
yeah,
and their bra, they're getting it on their BBC report. The BBC had an excellent documentary on immigrants from India, the continent, country of India, migrating to the Britain, London specifically. And, boy, you couldn't tell these Indians apart from like a street nigger. They were hooked on heroin and crack, and they stole every day. Their job was shoplifting. And it showed where they slept. They slept in the cemeteries. So Britain has the same problem, except they have a lot more people from India, Pakistan.
Well, you can't. I can't believe how that I do get hate mail from India, from these Hindus, saying how superior they are and everything else. And I don't even argue with them. I just say, well, just look at your society. Tells me all I need to know about your country and your race. I mean, you know.
Well, one thing when you think about India, what's the one thing that comes to mind? Overcrowding.
Oh yeah.
Right?
You see 5 million of them on the top of a train car or a bus car or anything like that. I mean, no, it's ridiculous for a Hindu to email hate mail to me how backward the white race is and how horrible the white race is and the Hindus are so superior. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's the one question I had about overcrowding. I considered, is the United States overcrowded? Would we do better with less? Then you have to pose the question, why did white men leave Europe? I think it was because of overcrowding, partly, in that the people could no longer make a living because a certain amount of overcrowding.
Well, I don't think it was so much overcrowding. It was living conditions. That the Industrial Revolution was beginning, and the formulation of capitalism was forming, and the way they treated the workers and everything in England and all over the place. And the drudgery and the filth of the cities like London and so forth was so bad. And then they'd get these advertisers that would advertise, make your future in the colonies and make a fortune, and there's gold and silver over there and all that. It was sort of a mixture of a whole lot of things that got people over here. Most of the time it was escaping bad conditions, but greed. Greed's what causes people to move most of the time.
Hmm.
I don't think it's such a great honorable thing that they move for. Look at all the Mexicans coming up here. They're not coming up here because they love America or the United States. Coming up here to get something. And I think I think that sometimes the healthier of the race stays put. I think that a case can be made for that they stay put and try to clean up their society, or maybe have a revolution, overthrow the bad guys and like that, to where people who are looking more for a quick out and quick money and gold and silver are the ones that jump on a boat and go to another country.
It does help the tribe to expand, though. When that does happen, even if it is a little bit greed-based in the beginning, the ultimate outcome is that the white race will expand its borders.
Well, yeah, and not all greed is bad. A certain amount of greed is a natural phenomenon, and it's greed and acquisition and adventure and all that mixed together. So you don't want to get rid of it all, but I think that sometimes it can be overplayed. Look at the way the British mercantile system screwed things up. Coming over here and going all over the world and making colonies and then bringing the people back to England and all that kind of stuff and the spread of diseases and all that kind of stuff and then also spreading Christianity, this Jewish religion, among the natives. That was a bad thing. The natives should have been left with their own native religions.
The religion, a way to control.
Yeah, because even the American Indian, they had a natural religion. I mean, it wasn't that far off from the Vikings' religion. I mean, the reverence of nature and all that, and the great, gods in the sky and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
So, I mean, actually, the so-called Native Americans religion was probably closer to the heathens of Northern Europe than it was to this Jew religion of Southern Europe.
Oh, it's it matches paganism. And
yeah,
it's what you talked about on the show a couple of days ago, practical. The word is you're being practical, a practical approach to what to believe in as a being higher than yourself.
In fact, all these religions had a basis in sun reverence, which is obvious and logical to have reverence for the sun.
Oh, are you kidding me? We love the sun. This is the month of Ishtar, where the sun rises in the sky and brings up all our seed. We're waiting for them to come up right now.
Don't use Ishtar. She was a bitch goddess of those Middle Eastern people, and even I think the Jews at one time worshipped Ishtar. She was a real bitch kitty.
And, really?
Yeah, Ishtar. Read about it. Go on to Wikipedia and read about Ishtar. She was so benevolent god.
There's probably another pagan deity that resembles that one.
That's where the Easter came from, is Ishtar. But most people don't know what kind of alleged god Ishtar was, in reality.
Hmm.
So anyhow.
Well, sure. Hey, if you had a bad spring, say if it was still snowing, then it would be a bad,
I saw somebody bitching about some Christians invited people over to hunt eggs on their property. They didn't even say Easter or anything, and this Muslim was bitching about it. Well, it's not a Christian thing anyhow. That's a pagan thing. That's a heathen thing, the eggs and the reverence of fertility and the fertility gods and all that kind of stuff. That's not Christian. The Christians stole it.
The war between the religions. You make, Muslims and Christians.
Yeah, right.
Just as bad as Protestants and Catholics are trying to create a race. They're trying to say religion is race when it's not.
Just like using the cross. The Christians stole that from the heathens, too, because the cross represents the cross of the zodiac, and beyond that, before it represented an execution device, that cross, as the cross of the equinox, was carried all over Europe. They found crosses that predate Christianity by a long shot, but they were that elongation of the cross was simply to stick it in the ground. The symbol is the circle, like you see on a lot of churches. People don't, Christians don't even recognize what it stands for. And
it's the same old ploy. They take a symbol that is well known by the population and alter its appearance just a little bit, and then write their own narrative to what it means.
Yeah, all religions do that. The Jews borrowed from Babylonians and all that kind of stuff. And anyhow, I want to make it simple, my opposition to the Jews. I want to put them into court and try them and put them in prison for the crimes they commit against us now, along with any Christians that do the same thing. But also the fact that the Jews gave us Christianity. So that, if there was any reason to wipe out the Jews, it was that, not the excuses they used in Europe later.
Trump,
under Hitler and stuff like that. I mean, my gripe with the Jews is they created Christianity.
That is so true. You don't know how true it is. I heard a Christian friend of mine tell me that we were discussing the origins of Christianity and what its meaning is. And the way he saw it was Christianity, and this is a Catholic talking to you now, that Christianity is an advanced natural progression of the Judaic religion.
Of course it is. What do you think? They preach the Old Testament. The Old Testament's all Jewish. They teach it every Sunday in every church around. I mean, you can turn down the dial on the radio here, and you hear most of the preachers speaking Old Testament all week long. You can't get away from it,
They don't often like to admit that, though. They won't admit that openly.
Well, for Christ's sake, how could you not admit it? I mean, it's... you know, two-thirds of the Bible or more is plain Jewish, and then the New Testament's full of it, too.
Isn't that a paradox? Why most of the members of the congregation have a natural hatred for the Jews?
Well, you see, what I was going to talk about that today on the show, but we'll talk about it now. Most of this Jew hatred came, it was fomented by the church, the Christian church. They were in competition. Of course, the Christian church was in competition with any other religion, you know, Mesmerism or anything that came out that competed with the Church of Rome was the bitter enemy, and they fought it. So they dream up all kinds of shit about the Jews and everybody else. And, you know, most of that stuff, whether the right wing like it or not, most of that crap that the Roman Church spread around about the Jews is lies. Just plain out lies. And, you know, there's plenty of evidence to condemn them for what they do today and what they've done much later in history than all this stuff about drinking the blood and all that kind of stuff that they put out in the early days, you know, of the church.
Yeah, early catechism classes and Sunday school, they taught the students, yeah, the Jews are Satan. They want to kill all Catholics.
Yeah,
this is what they were saying in the Catholic Church.
Well, it is just like the Republican and Democrat Party, the way they fight back and forth. That's the way it was. Now, the real irony of the situation, and the thing that's really, it's sort of funny, but it's not funny either, that the Jews, and I've talked to people who talked to some of the top Jew rabbis in this country in private, and they've admitted they know there was never a Jesus. They know there never was a Jesus, but they know that if they come out and push that, the Christians are going to go nuts and kill them again.
Right. Don't take away their idol God.
Can you imagine if the top rabbis in the country came out and said, we're sorry, but we got to tell you, there never was a Jesus, and you can imagine these fundamentalists, they would go absolutely berserk.
Well, they do tell them that, but in code, they say their term is false prophet.
Yeah.
That's what their term is. Oh, false prophet, false prophet.
Well, the Middle East was full of those kind of people. I mean, during that time of so-called Christ, I mean, there was all kinds of fake Jesuses walking around and magicians and soothsayers and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, in fact, most of that stuff is how they've confused some real dorky, jerky, dummy magician for a special guy and even Jesus wasn't considered a god until later on. I think it was Paul. I mean, the original apostles didn't see him as they saw him as a man. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden they transferred him, part of the apostles made him a god. I mean, you know, and then they made Mary a god. I mean, she was barely in the New Testament, you know.
Yeah, that was a great audio file.
People need to go to that therenewasajesus.com and once you listen to that stuff and get the goods, you'll never go back to that stuff again.
Yeah, that story's been told 23 other times a deity walked the earth. You sent out that audio file about the ancient India had 8 of them where a boy of 16 walked the whole country naked in the winter and was given food, everything. So this is old hat, this Jesus thing. But see, modern Christians, like, you know, we came from Christianity. We were both Christians.
Sure.
Modern Christians, I never explored those ancient roots till I got older. I just swallowed it. Like,
Hell, I didn't get out of it till I was, I don't know, about 40 years old. I mean, come on, it took me, my last stop was Christian Identity, and once I figured that it was a scam too, well, I said, that's it, I'm out of here.
That's amazing. You try to find like-minded people, and then it takes some people, it's earlier in life that you throw down those chains of religion. The self-hatred, and they're mired in mediocrity.
I got all kinds of people that mean well, that send me all kinds of good anti-government stuff and anti-Jew stuff all the time, but then they got that Christian Identity hook in it, you know?
If we cannot get past religion, that's the number one protocol. You have to there is only one religion, and that's nature's eternal religion.
That's true.
It is the natural way of things. Look, white man is superior. We are white supremacists because our genetic makeup is supreme. Now, are we supreme in the planet? By all means, no. We don't possess all the money. We don't possess all the weapons. We don't possess all the power. But genetically speaking, yes, we are the pinnacle of human existence.
Well, you judge people or a race by what they do and not what they say. Now, I think the white race is superior sometimes, and sometimes they're not superior. I mean, sometimes they screw up so badly that it's hard to call them superior, but they've got the makings to be superior all the time, but they're not always superior.
If we look at the growth of the white nation through the 1800s, the Industrial Age, the Iron Age, the 1900s, the automobile age, there has been tremendous growth over the past 200 years. Now, if you take the last 20 years, we really haven't had that much growth as far as that major kind of impact you would expect to see if history followed the same rate of progression as the last 20 years.
What kind of growth do you mean? A material growth or population growth?
There has to be a growth in technology.
Oh, well, we've got plenty of that.
Well, see, but if you take like from the year 1800 to the year 2000, you'll see that the creativity of the whites has dropped off. Why is this? Because we're saddled with these millions and billions of mud people who are around our waist, who are dragging us down. So white people cannot be creative. So the only solution is to maybe go out to Mars.
Well, let's be fair about it. We're being drugged down by millions of our own non-achieving people, too. We've got millions of white people that are worthless, and due to genetic downbreeding and so forth, that even if there were no non-races dragging us down, I'd say half of our own race is dragging the white race down.
Yeah, if taken for percentages, I wouldn't say half. Half are definitely mired in mediocrity, where these may be very beautiful, bright Aryans who can do a lot better, but are just content staying in their 9-to-5 job and earning and going to the ball games and stuff. In other words, they never act nobly. They're white, but they're not Aryan. And that's what we'd like to kind of make the transition, that say, you know, you're white, but now try to act Aryan.
Well, you need the base of the genetics is a pyramid operation. The genius is at the top, the capstone, the top of the pyramid. But you need a broad base of genetic material of white people at the base, who are not necessarily geniuses and like that, to feed the ongoing evolution of the genes and so forth, to produce the small percentage of the real geniuses at the top. The problem is now our geniuses are being sidetracked off into weapons of mass destruction and all this bad stuff that we've done, our race, and armaments all the time, and where we think that the only way to have power is through military power. Well, Hitler learned that's not true. He had all the military power he could use, but he still lost.
We ran out of pilots, ran out of personnel. You have to have people.
Whereas if he had not got into a war, he would have, the race would have been in much better shape all over the world. So the people that think that, see, like Rome, that was their idea. We have giant armies and we've got forts all over Europe and all over the world and even over in Asia. Well, we've got it made. Well, it doesn't. They didn't have it made, and it led to their destruction.
1,000 years, though. That's what other empire has done that?
Like, well, yeah, but that was because a lot of it was slow communications, and their technology was not as advanced. If Rome had had the materialism that we have, they'd have been probably out of business in 100 years.
So with all this technology, it could be argued that the government could just throw a switch and they could enforce their edict. It could run on its own even when there aren't any more people. There'll still be drones flying around and things like that. you know what I mean? That Terminator movie, when that came out in 1984, I really liked that movie. I don't know if you've seen that when that came out.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it two or three times.
I felt that was very futuristic when that came out. And I was working in the field of electronics at the time, and I thought, you know what? We're going to see this. This is going to be in our lifetime, and now we see it, these hunter-killer robots. And
They're
more a weapon of terror.
The trouble is that we have geniuses among the race today, but they come out with something that could really solve the problems of the world, or at least the country, and they allow it to be taken away and used by bad people. I tell you, there's nothing that can be invented that the bad, creepy people can't get a hold of and use against us, you see.
Right.
All this stuff is great inventions and then turned around and used against us. I mean, you know, a certain amount of atomic power would probably have been okay if they could have done it properly, but yet they turned it into atomic bombs and everything, you see. So every time white a genius comes up with something that could solve the problems for maybe the whole world, it gets diverted into warfare and weapons and all that. And so it ends up being an enemy instead of a friend.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, we had the atomic bomb before we had any atomic energy plants.
Right.
That type of thing. So, yeah, that was directed toward the toward a doomsday weapon.
Now, you know, a lot of right-wingers blame that all on the Jews, but see, the Jews, there were Jewish scientists involved in coming up with that stuff, but they were pushed forward by the Christians. I mean, you know, it was, you know, Truman was not a Jew, and he was pushing the atomic bomb creation like mad once they told him about it, and, you know, and so they all these weapons of mass destruction, they have used some of the genius of some of the Jews to research and build them, but they've been pushed by big business and Christians. But the right wing don't want to talk about that. Oh, it's just the Jews, you know. If we could just get rid of the Jews, everything would be peachy. No, that's not true.
Well, if we could get rid of Jonathan Pollard.
Jonathan Pollard is, you know, what's he going to do? He's already done the bad stuff. I mean, and what's this that Pollard gave Israel secrets? Our government gives Israel all the secrets anyhow. What the hell they have him even in prison? I mean, there's nothing that the Mossad doesn't get out of this country. So I think that he was just a fall guy. They wanted to make it look like they're doing something about Jew spies, you know. The Jews have always been spies. I mean, look at Judith Copeland and all those Jews in World War, in the Cold War, and, you know, the two that we put in electric chair and all that, and then the State Department turns right around and gives them all the secrets. And we were giving Russia all those secrets. How do you think they got the information to build the bomb? They didn't have the scientists that could figure that out.
So Russia did not come up with the atomic weapons on their own?
They were given secrets by these Jew, and mostly Jew, I must say that, as far as spies are concerned. Almost all the Jews that were working for the Soviets, giving them secrets, you know.
Isn't that something that we should have really guarded, those atomic secrets, and perhaps even after the bombs were built, just shoot the scientists? That's the way to keep the
secrets. Well, now, I will give, I'll give some of the people who are involved in that a little bit of a break. Because there were some liberals involved in that thought that if we give the secrets to the Soviet Union and they've got a bomb and we've got a bomb, then that'll sort of neutralize things and we won't have wars. Well, technically, didn't that turn out to be true?
So that's what must have happened, because they gave them the mutually assured destruction theory.
Yeah. So even though there were a lot of people, bad people, selling these secrets and all that kind of, and me even doing it because they were really reds. But there was a certain amount of liberals that thought that maybe if both sides have it, we won't use it, which luckily turned out to be true.
Or could you imagine the life after a nuclear blast like those people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki had to go through? What a criminal act that was.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't that many years until they rebuilt the whole damn thing, and there were plants and gardens growing just a few years after it happened. You know, in fact, I read a study once where the agriculture was growing faster after that atomic bomb hit that area than before.
So, in other words, we don't manufacture bombs that are that small anymore. The bombs nowadays are probably 10 times, I've heard, 100, 1,000 times bigger.
Yeah, well,
bombs are sort of
antiquated, really. It's biological warfare now is the real doomsday device. I mean, look at this, what's that stuff you talked about at the start of the show?
Ebola.
Ebola. I mean, you know, would you rather get hit in one little area of your country with an A-bomb or have Ebola all over your country? If I had a choice, I think I'd hopefully be out of the road of where the bomb hit, you know, because it's, you know, most of those things only cover maybe 100 miles or so. But Ebola, man, that stuff is something else.
Yeah, you can't see it coming. It's
Well, I'll tell you what, the problem is the greed of the predatory capitalists is so much that they know how this stuff is spreading all the time in these diseases, but they're so greedy to rob the third world of their goodies and mine their gold and mine their iron and steel and copper and everything else that they say we'll take the risk.
Nothing is more destructive, the white man's invention, than an airplane. These giant airplanes that ferry the people around from Vietnam to New York City, and they run 5-6 flights a day, all different corners of the mud world, and they bring them into our white world, where it used to be those people had to endure like a 3-month boat ride.
Well, here again, it's not the invention that's bad. It's the bad people getting control and use them, because there's you can control that kind of stuff. Every person entering the country would have to have a complete health check before they could even leave the airport. They'd be in quarantine into special areas of the airport, and like that, it would be slower. But you know, this way you could catch terrorists and everybody else. Now this stuff can be handled, but you know who cripes the most? The traveling public. Oh man, I'm slowed down. I can't get to my cocktail party, and you want to check me for Ebola? Come on, that ain't fair. You see, it's the general stupid public. I'm sure that most of these aircraft companies would be much more stringent, and the National Health Group would be much more stringent if they weren't afraid of the public going crazy. I mean, oh man, you know, we're so spoiled. I mean, Americans are spoiled. The only thing that's going to wake Americans up, like I've always said, they got to get kicked in the ass. And the 9/11, even though we all know it was a contrived situation, because how much terrorism has there been in this country since? Nothing that the FBI hasn't been behind. So,
You're telling me some towelhead who had 11-hour stick time in a Cessna 152 was able to stick fly a 22-ton 767 into a direct hit? And let me tell you, anybody who's a pilot who's taken lessons knows that that's not possible.
Well, it's possible that they were in the plane or something, but I don't know. Maybe they were tied up in the back, and other people, maybe they were flying mechanically. I don't know, but we know it was a fraud job, however it happened, whether the Bushes were behind it or whether it was set up by the Mossad or what. We know it was set up. But the point is, they have never really effectively committed terrorism in the United States.
That's an excellent point. You know what another good point was from the day of the tragedy of 9/11? Over 1 million people were rescued by ship, by the ferry.
Well, I saw that story. I don't necessarily Well, I don't know, but...
No good news. See, my point was no good news was allowed to come out from that day. It was always shown, oh, bad news, bad news. But there was a lot of good things that happened of people helping people, and that didn't want that to be told.
Even the guys that went running up into the building and the firemen and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, but the point is all contrived, and we know that. But the point is that there's a million ways any terrorist could have struck in this country and killed a lot more people than that. I mean, you know, all these LPG tanks sitting around, all it takes is a little C4 on the side of them, and they become a bomb. I mean, they're already exploding around the country, and I don't know, maybe somebody's terrorizing doing that. But the point is, they could have been derailing trains, they could have been derailing oil cars, they could have been bombing gasoline distillery places. What happened? Nothing happened.
Yeah, they're trying to tell us it's a hot war, that that 19 towelheads would die all at the same time in a massive organized attack that involved four aircraft. That does not fit the modus operandi of the towelhead and how they operate.
Well, I don't even think it's worth discussing that. I mean, we all know it was a fraud no matter how it took place. I'm not going to sit around like... it was building 6 or building 7 and building 8 or, you know, who, what, or what. All I need to know is who benefited by it. And what has happened to this country has become a police state afterwards with Homeland Security that are hiring tens of thousands of private contractors that have more power over you than the cops. I mean, most of the people working for Homeland Security are private contractors, and you got those. Then you got the private armies, and they're running around the country, and then they're finding billions of dollars missing among these private contractors, both here in the United States and overseas, and they're using Homeland Security to hand out contracts to niggers in Alabama and shit. They got even the niggers on the radio the other day were bragging about how there's all these new nigger millionaires in Louisiana and Alabama. They're just siphoning off our money, you see. Was the plan, to bring America to its knees. They just needed one central focal thing for the excuse, and that's all the 9/11 was about.
How is everything even running? If we discuss about how the system controls the 300-plus million people here, it's only 2%. Or let's say, yeah, about 2%. There's the system has about 4 to 6 million people, armed army, guards, and stuff like that. So it's only this small percentage of the total population that's controlling everything.
Well, it's always the case. You don't need a very big group to control a country. You look at the Soviet Union. Sure, they had the Soviet Army and the NKVD and all of that, but... It doesn't take that many people with guns or the ability to murder to keep people in line. It's the same thing as a shepherd and a sheep. He's got one sheepdog out there, and he's got 200 sheep. That dog keeps him going the right way every time. And that's most societies are like sheep. I mean, they're very, sometimes I wonder if they're not related. But anyhow... Hey, let's go to another story here. You see where Jeb Bush now, they're talking about him running for president. That's all we need, another Bush or another Clinton. But anyhow, he's saying that these people who come in illegally across the border, they do so out of an act of love for their
quote-unquote, an act of love.
For their families, and should be treated differently than people who illegally cross U.S. borders or overstay visits. Well, I don't care. You know as well as I do, most of them don't come over here for love. They come over here to get money and take it back to Mexico or get into the drug business. I mean, they're busting Mexicans all over northern Indiana now, and Chicago is nothing but murder incorporated again. It's probably worse than when Capone was running the place.
The only people making money off these Mexicans in this country are the people that sell them food. And it seems like it's these small little groceries that are in the ghettos that have home delivery service.
Yeah.
And around here is Fernandez Grocer. I've watched him go from one truck. He's got a fleet of 12 trucks now because the city is so unsafe that the people can't walk to the little market, little bodega, so they buy stuff over the phone and deliver it.
And he probably got a federal loan to start up, too. They do that all over the place to buy trucks and everything.
Oh, yeah. But see, that's the only money that's being spent by the so-called immigrants or invaders. They send, like you say, they send it all out of the country. Now, how is that good for American jobs or American taxpayers? They don't even pay tax.
Yeah, and we got all these liberal progressives that cry about the environment being destroyed and overpopulation, but yet they're right there to stand and fight for the illegal invaders. You know, the logic is totally screwed, the same way with their logic about guns. If we take away all the guns, then everything will be peaceful, but then you really have a police state. Like I said yesterday on the show, when the government starts disarming, then I'll think about disarming.
Oh, no, you never want to disarm. Even if the government did disarm, you would never.
Well, I'm just using that as a conversational piece, you know.
Oh, sure.
To get the discussion started. Now, sometimes people that listen to this radio show take everything I say absolutely literally. And if they do, they're making a mistake. Because sometimes I use metaphors and different things like that to try to get a point across and get people thinking, and not that absolutely everything that I'm going to disarm.
Understood. Yeah. When the government gets rid of their weapons of mass destruction, that's when we'll start thinking about getting rid of our weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that's why I think we ought to push that type thing. I mean, you know, I'll put that on my sign out front, which I get all these people see it every day. And I don't know where I told you, but I might have said something on here that. My sign reads now, Tom Metzger for judge, because we got a big election coming up out here, and we got dozens of guys running for judges. There must be some real good money in that judge thing. So I put on there, Tom Metzger for judge, and I'm just waiting for all these people to be calling the newspaper and the radio station. Say, how did that guy ever run for judge?
Oh, that sounds, you know what, you'd have a better chance of getting that than you would congressman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I really felt like doing it, I'd run for something like that again. But I just don't see wasting the time.
It's more trouble than it's worth, because, like you say, if you do get in there, then the opposition to come against you, you'll get nowhere.
And if you don't spend a certain amount of money, nobody takes you serious. And you're not going to get that many donations. I know. This grassroots donation stuff is not what it's written up to be. You know, I learned that in the right wing. Getting donations out of the right wing was unbelievable.
Yeah, but to do a propaganda campaign, like I don't know how many signatures you'd have to get on the ballot for judge, but that would be great, because then you could put out a page of propaganda about why you should be judge, and it's like a forum. It gives you a forum to speak, so that has value as far as that goes.
Well, yeah, but it's cheaper this way with tongue in cheek, to where people will start asking you, "You'd run for judge?" No, but if I was, this is what I'd do, and this is what I'd say. So I can probably get more information out that way than if I was running.
Yeah, you'd be a better judge than any of those.
Well, most of these Republican groups, they wouldn't invite me to speak. And the Democrats, they wouldn't invite me to speak. So, you know, they freeze you out of reaching the public unless you got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy TV advertising and like that. No, I'm done with that. I'm going to run for dictator next.
Get a big sign like I do that says, "Don't vote," and put it on the roof of your car and drive around town election day. That's what I usually do. And drive past the polling places.
Yeah, I got that thing out there. I could put it on the back of my truck, on my flatbed, and with replaceable letters on it. I could drive around with that. But I'm still working on getting my guillotine.
That sucker is too heavy. We got the original blueprints from you passed it on through the intel.
Why can't we make it out of light pine wood? I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be heavy wood. It doesn't have to be steel. You paint it black and look like, you know, metal, you know?
Yeah.
And have the blade sprayed with bright aluminum paint like it's an actual blade, you know?
I think it'll be top heavy if it's done with light pine wood. That's why it's so heavy. The bottom is made.
Well, you tie it down. I mean, you know, you just tie cables down to.
Right. On so you'd have to modify the original design just to. Okay.
Yeah. It could be done, and so anyhow.
I've been looking at that. I'll make a small. I'm trying to make a small little model. Maybe I'll send you if you like it. I'll build you a production. You know, you always start with a model.
Okay. Well, look, figure out something for me. It's too bad you're so far away.
No, not that far. Just the other end of the time zone. I mean,
no.
I could probably hit you with a scud.
You don't know me. I don't like to drive much. You know, and, I want to go down there to Arizona, and my family's got a couple of lots down there by what the hell's the name of that gambling casino over there? Not Las Vegas, but anyhow, the one down there by Kingman. They got a couple of lots up in there. Wouldn't mind going down there maybe in the wintertime once in a while and get a little sun, you know?
Get out of the wet, yeah. It's
but I, then I think
winter.
About driving all the way down there makes me half sick.
Oh, there's a lot of crazies on the road. You drive, you can hit the certain times you drive. Drive from like 2 in the morning to 8.
Yeah.
And then just go stop for lunch. And don't drive rush hour. These people are crazies. Hey, did you see that there's going to be 4 total lunar eclipses coming up? The first starting April 15th at 2 a.m. So get out there and observe the stars, you know.
Better watch out for loony people then.
Yeah, the Christians say this marks the end. We're all lined up, the 4 blood moons, and today the Earth, Sun, and Mars are lined up. So.
I see. So something's going to happen, huh?
Well, the shuttle's running. There's supposedly the scuttlebutt is we got people on Mars already. And they're living. That's
well, you know, maybe too. Some of our revolutionary activity is going to start with these sports events. I see down in Kentucky, the fans lit so many fires in the streets, the police had to use tear gas on the fans after a game down there.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
The George Bush, Bush Jr. and Bill Clinton were there at the game. So maybe they had something to do with it.
Too bad the mob didn't get them.
Oh, boy, yeah, that'll be the day. They got all this Secret Service around them.
Well, the Secret Service half the time is drunk, the way I get it. I mean, you know, they go over there to Europe, and then they have to send them home because they're drunk or chasing whores or something. I mean, you know.
They can't help themselves.
The Secret Service ain't like it used to be. Now, last night I was watching a special on public TV about the Frank Collin Nazi Party program about Skokie, Illinois back in the 70s. And I lived through that, and I was actually active, not as a National Socialist, but it was quite interesting, all this original footage they had of that and how crazy the Jews went. And I wanted to make a point of that, and I was going to talk about it tomorrow, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit today. I believe the entire Hollywood Nazi thing and the entire marching around with that stuff and even the revisionist history, whether they like it or not or whether they meant it to be that way, has done more to build the myth of the Jews and the Holocaust than anything that's ever been done. Because after all of this, they built museums all over the place, and they had come out with blockbuster movies and hundreds of hours of Holocaust TV that before, back in the 50s and the 60s, you didn't hear about. The Holocaust was something you I don't remember even hearing about it.
If you look it up in Wikipedia, it says it was a term that was adopted in the late 70s.
Yeah, and that was after Frank Collin, the Jew, Nazi, started his deal about Skokie, and, of course, then the press, then they jump onto it, and then you get all this revisionist stuff. Now, remember, most of these revisionist historians are not racial. They'll go on and on about the Jews, but they're not racial. And so they don't do us any good as far as I'm concerned. But anyhow, the point is, I believe the whole thing was fabricated and is still being controlled from behind the scenes by the Jews themselves to keep this thing going, and every once in a while have a rise of a Hollywood Nazi group to march around just to keep, more or less, to keep their own people in line.
I tend to agree with you, TT.
And so, what I'm saying is that if people would have just left it alone, there's a natural criminality among a lot of Jews that would come to the fore, and when they get in government, they get crooked too, and people would naturally have quietly become even more anti-Jew, or at least anti-crooked Jew. And then with the rise of their Israel being the bandit state and being the much worse than anything they could ever call the Nazis, they have now turned much of the left wing into being anti-Jew, anti-Israel. So we've got the Jews split all up. You see, that could have happened a long time ago if we hadn't have been giving them a free ticket with all this revisionist history, trying to prove this happened, that happened, everything happened. I mean, instead of saying, okay, 55 million people died in World War II, what's your problem? A lot of people died. And now let's get back to work, you know. In fact, why don't you start condemning your Jewish forefathers in the First World War and after for creating the situation that led us into World War II and Hitler. There never would have been a Hitler if that had been World War I.
Right.
So, and the Jews are right in the middle of robbing Germany, of course, after World War I. You know, before World War I, they were pretty much pro-German, most of the Jews. But my position is that the right wing has been used to foster all this bullshit. And I'm getting hate mail from some revisionists because I've criticized the way this thing is going. But even if they didn't intend it to be this way, and many of these people didn't, but look, why in this whole documentary they didn't concentrate on the Jew, Frank Collin? That was the guy who was running the Nazi party who did this. Why weren't they in there saying, we've got some bad Jews like Frank Collin? They didn't do any. They don't say. They made one little reference to that, but they passed it off like it didn't make any difference.
Sure, because that's the hinge pin. What is the result of the action? This is what.
In other words, what would the Jews do today with propaganda if they didn't have the Hollywood Nazis and people like that running around declaring they're Nazis?
Right.
Instead of just saying, well, I may be a National Socialist or National Socialist sympathies, but there is no such thing as a Nazi or a neo-Nazi, and anybody that's dressing up and marching around the streets is just playing into the Jews' hands.
Yeah, the neo-Nazis are not a political-based group. The people who dress up in those uniforms are nostalgia buffs reenacting World War II events, much the same way that a Revolutionary War fan, like here in Trenton, a recreation of the crossing of the Delaware, Christmas Day in Trenton, turning point of revolution, that's reenacted. That's all. These are reenactors. The political party, the National Socialists, ceased to exist. That's in the past. Groups like these revisionists, what is the end result? The end result is the Jews get more and more donations. It scares old Jews into donating money.
Oh, yeah.
The Jews. They're scaring old Jews. Look, the Holocaust is coming back. The Germans are coming. It doesn't so much affect the new, but
that's what the black fake leadership does with the KKK to keep the blacks in line, the old blacks in line. Always the KKK is coming, and then there's always a few of these dumbasses that still think it's something that they can gain ground with by starting a Klan group. I see they're distributing literature all over the country. It's a hollow outfit. There's nothing there, and you know, it's ridiculous. But yet, that's used to scare people. Scare people like the government. They deal in fear. That's their main product. And part of the fear is the news media using the Klan and using the Nazis and things like that to continually scare people.
I wouldn't put it past some of these local news stations that if they didn't print the flyers up themselves and hand them out, so they have a news story to follow.
Well, there's always a new group of dumbasses, you know. Believe me, I've met a lot of them in my day that if there's anything they could do wrong, they would do it. So, anyhow, we're about out of time there, my man.
Well, good to hear from you, T.T. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm sorry we missed out a couple of weeks there.
Oh, no hard feelings. Hey, if it, you know, we'll try to get together at the point in time. If not,
well,
the ships will meet again.
Well, we're both working, man, so we try to keep busy. So anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
14-5, man, and what do we say to everybody?
We say at the end is shut up. Later.
Okay.
Sometimes.